We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Just like that nice man said, it is time for the Derek Shelton Show. The Pirates manager is on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Shelty, you're on with myself and Paul Zeiss, and we're very happy that you referred to City Limits by his new nickname.
Yeah, well, that's what you did. And I appreciate you saying the nice guy. Were you referring to me? When you said the nice guy in the intro, was that what you were saying?
You and the guy who did the read there is a very nice.
Okay.
Do you know
City
Paul?
Limits, yeah. No, but City Limits, yeah. I used it for the first time today, so I didn't know you were aware of that. But I'm trying to get there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And you know Paul, yes?
We did this show a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, we did it when you were drinking Mai Tais with Cookie on the beach. In Speedos.
That's right, in Speedos, yes. Let's get to some of your decisions, Shelty. This one last night, I thought you were crazy. I thought McCutchen should move lower in the lineup. You put him all the way up to leadoff, and he hits a home run and gets three hits. He could have easily had four. What did you see that a lot of us didn't?
Well, it's shocking that you're second-guessing me. I mean, that never happens. You know? I mean, we are always lockstep. Honestly, as you guys know, we've been struggling offensively. My thought was, we're going to provide a little bit of spark here with a little bit of stability, and Kutch has done it and knew it wasn't going to overwhelm him. I thought the night before he probably had his two best at-bats that he'd had since he had hit the homer in Philly, and, just went with the veteran there. And he provided a spark right from the jump.
That seemed to settle everybody down a little bit when he hits a home run to start the game. But I think the larger story for your offense is you got to see O'Neill Cruz kind of get on track. You've been around the game a long time. Is that the kind of game that a guy like him needs? And the next thing you know, now he'll start seeing the ball again and hitting and settling in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's a young player. The game was going really fast for him. Probably lost a little bit of his swagger. And the fact that, he gets the first hit, and then he hits the ball off the wall at about 115. And then the big left-on-left base hit there at the end. That's the kind of game that, will give you a little bit of confidence back and like, all right, here we go. Because the game's hard, and especially for him, having missed as much time as he did last year. That was really important for us. And I think just in totality, the fact that we moved the ball yesterday, I mean, even Jack's ball not hit very hard, they make an error. Those are the things we did early in the year when we were winning games that we kind of had gotten away from offensively.
Shelty, let's talk about confidence for a minute. It's hard to define, but it's so real. It's so true. When I'm on a golf course and I'm a horrible golfer, but if I'm having a good round, all of a sudden, I'm swinging freely, I'm happy, I'm taking some chances, I'm being aggressive, and it's all in my head. How much of that do you deal with baseball players, having it all be in their head?
That is every day. You know, these guys are so physically talented. It's very rarely a mechanical thing. There's tweaks that we make and adjustments we make, but the confidence part of the game and the mental side of the game is such a huge component. And like you said, when you're playing good and you're feeling good, everything seems to be going right. And when you're on the flip side of it, it's, you know, every single thing that happens. Like, let's go back 2 days ago. I mean, Reese McGuire hits a ball 120 feet off his hands that falls for a double with the bases loaded, you know, and 2 weeks ago we catch that ball. So there's little things that happen that provide confidence, but this game is so mental, and those are the challenges we have. And it's really going back to the question with Kutch. You know, we know Kutch is mentally strong. We know Kutch has been in the fire for a long time. So you put him at the top to give you a little stability, because honestly, we have a bunch of young kids that are going to go through trying times, and we have to provide as much stability as possible.
Well, speaking of young kids and confidence, I mean, Henry Davis obviously has gotten off to a rough start. And you know, it just at times it seems like he's a little overwhelmed. How do you get him back on track? Is there, you know, even a point you might have to send him back to Indianapolis to work on some things? I mean, are you, what is your plan, or what are you looking at to try and get him going?
Yeah, well, defensively, Henry's done a really nice job. Offensively, it looks like he's in between. And I think that's why we're seeing him take the pitches that he's taking and, you know, swinging at the pitches. I mean, that sounds really elementary, but I do think some of this comes down to when you're feeling good, you know, it's free and easy. And right now it looks like, you know, we're gripping the bat a little bit tight there. And we got to get back to the free and easy swings that we saw last year. We got to get back to him using the entire field like he did last year before he came to the big leagues, and then actually when he came to the big leagues. Those are the key components that are going to make him go.
I believe you started Joey Bart consecutive games, Shelty. Is this officially a timeshare, like an equal timeshare at catcher, or even leaning toward Bart at the moment?
Well, I don't think we're leaning one way or another, but I do think we're going to see both guys play. I mean, Joey has done a good job. He swung the bat well, and we still got to get Henry going. So, I mean, we're going to see, you know, I mean, it's not the timeshare in Boca Raton that Cook probably owns, but, you know, we're going to see both guys play.
And when will we see Grandal?
I think that's still to be determined. He's in Indy. We got to build him up. I mean, he missed so much time that we have to build up his spring training. I mean, he had caught 9 innings on Sunday. He's catching 9 innings again tonight, or scheduled to. And then we'll continue to go from there. But we just got to get his volume built up. I think right now he's at 15 or 16 plate appearances, and we need to just make sure that he's healthy before he comes back.
We would be remiss, Derek, if we didn't ask you the Paul Skeens question and when we might see him. But I think even beyond him, because obviously there's a plan in place with him and whatnot, you've been looking for some offense, and right now it looks like Nick Gonzalez is really hitting the cover off the ball down in the minors. I mean, might we see him soon?
Well, I think with the Skeens portion, your point there, Paul, is really good. There is a plan in place. We've talked about it. There is a buildup. I mean, he has yet to throw on 5 days. That's something that's going to be important to us. And as Stark and I talked about the other day, efficiency is going to be important too, you know, to build him up and being efficient. And sometimes that's challenging when you're punching guys out, and he has punched guys out. But there is a plan in place for Paul to continue to progress before, you know, he's in Pittsburgh. And then with Nick Gonzalez, yeah, he's off to a really good start. And it's something that we're monitoring. I don't think we have a time frame with anybody that's coming to the big leagues, or when they're coming. There's certain factors that are involved in everything. But, you know, we're really pleased with the start that Nick's off to, because there were some things in spring training that we singularly focused on with him, with his swing, that it's really shown up so far in Indy.
If I said as long as he keeps pitching well, that we'll see Skeens by Memorial Day, would you say I'm right?
I would say, you know, I don't live in a skeptical world, and I will not answer that. Come on, we've been doing this for 5 years.
All right, then here's something you can give me a concrete answer to. Jones pitched great last night. Everybody's happy. The last time out, everybody was up in arms because he came out after 59 pitches. And I can't be the only one who was surprised when after you said it was predetermined, Ben Cherington said the staff decided on their own that they were going to hold him back. Whose decision was it? The predetermined decision, the one where you guys, somebody said, we're going to limit him to five innings no matter what. What person was at the forefront of that decision?
Well, it was a collaborative decision. I mean, it was predetermined going through it. I mean, ultimately, once we get into the game, it's just like any decision. It's my decision. Just like last night, the decision to let him face Perkins was my decision, which I know a lot of people didn't think was going to happen. But it was collaboratively a decision by, you know, us. But ultimately, I think to Ben's point, the staff is the one, or I'm the one that takes him out. So, you know, it was me taking him out. But we had talked about that decision, you know, previously to going into the game.
With Ben, was he aware that that was the plan going into the game?
Yeah, Ben was aware of the plan. I mean, everything that we do within our pitching group, we talk about. So, yeah, he was aware that we were going to shorten it up. I mean, I didn't give him a specific on it, but yeah, he was aware of what we were doing.
Something that didn't make sense to a lot of people is why cut it off at innings instead of pitches? Because there's no way of knowing going into a game what those five innings are going to be like. You might have a guy do what he did and have an unbelievably low pitch total and a high strike total.
I think that's a great point, and I appreciate you bringing it up. And again, ultimately, this is why it's my decision. And this is something we have talked about since then. You know, do we know we're right at five innings? No, I'm not telling you we do. Just like I'm not telling you that anybody in the game knows how we're going to prevent, you know, any type of injuries or everything that's going on. So I'm not saying we're right here. I'm not saying 59 pitches was right. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying that this was a situation that we thought we were going to monitor him. So I don't know if the five ups is right. I don't know if the 59 pitches is right. I completely understand that. I will tell you, since that point, there has been a lot of discussion about that specific thing. And that's not saying like, hey, we're trying to skirt around that we took him out and he was pitching really well. No, you know me better than that I don't do that. But we have to continue to look at what our process is here. And again, not saying that process is right or we have it to the point of like, hey, we got this nailed down. But it's something we will continue to talk about. And honestly, going into it, you know, I had predetermined that it was going to be five. Now, looking back at it, it was five and 59. Should I have adjusted that? Maybe. You know, but I think the thing about it is we have to continue to kind of study and look at what our process is.
It's interesting, the subject of arms, young arms, and arm prevention, injury prevention has been obviously very much front and center with respect to Major League Baseball. And Greg Maddux weighed in with his theory that one of the problems is all of the young pitchers, especially, meaning even at the lower levels in youth baseball and high school baseball and whatnot, it's all a focus on velocity, maximum velocity, and now, you know, obviously spin rate as well, as opposed to teaching guys to pitch strikes and throw strikes and not necessarily worry about maximum velocity. Do you buy any of that theory that maybe this is what's led to, you know, this rash of arm injuries and where the game is today?
Yeah, well, number one, I'm never going to disagree with the Hall of Famer that probably had the best control of any human being in the last 100 years. But the point is, in not having seen Maddux's quote, but if he stated that it's going down to even the youth level and high school level and college level, I 100% agree with that. I think we're too focused at the lower levels on that specifically. And it's why we're seeing kids that are, you know, and this would be a great time that I wish Cook was here that I could make an age joke about him and I being old. But like when we were growing up, 15-year-old kids weren't having Tommy John surgeries or they weren't going to orthopedic surgeons. You pitched, you know, and then you pitched the next day and you played another position. So I do think there is so much focus on that. And it's not just at the professional level. This is throughout the game of baseball that everything can be measured. You know, technology is great, but when we got a 12-year-old worrying about what his spin rate is or how hard he's throwing his breaking ball or the vert on it, we have an issue in the game. And I think this is a larger issue than just professional baseball. That's a personal opinion of mine that I think we focus way too much on those things.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's so many stories about that. You know, the pitch clock, is it too much throwing in the offseason or when they're young, or not enough velocity and spin? It sounds like you're putting forth the idea that a lot of people have, that it feels like starters everywhere are throwing like closers, like not really pitching, but just trying to blow people away with velocity and spin. But then it comes into my mind, Shelty, whether we had the measurements when we were young or not, wasn't everybody trying to spin the ball as much as possible and throw with maximum velocity then too?
Yeah, I maybe it's the measurables. I don't know. Again, I mean, this goes back exactly to like the Jones point of 5 and 59. I don't think we know. I really don't. And it's not, you know, me trying to avoid it. It's me trying to take responsibility for it. It's like, we don't know. So we have to continue to look and say like, hey, what are we doing? How are we doing it? I do know that the arm injuries, you know, it's a challenge in the game today. And we have to figure out the best way, not only organizationally, but, you know, as the game, to keep pitchers healthy. It's not good for the game that we have multiple frontline starters that are not pitching. So I don't know, you know, no one has the answer. And I know they're studying it, they're paying attention to it. There's different beliefs on what it is, but it's something we have to figure out, because we're losing prime time pitchers in the, you know, heart of their career to injuries.
There was one piece, I think, in The Athletic where it talked about the designer pitches that are out there. And one medical guy said, we can literally look at an MRI and say that this pitch did that to this guy. How much discussion, whether it's Ben, Oscar, you, your medical people, do you have about designer pitches?
Well, I mean, I think the designer pitch that was referred to in that article is the sweeper, right?
I think so.
Yeah, it's a sweeper.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, and I think there's some doctors that believe, you know, that that's harmful. The question I have back is, like, the sweeper is the old-school slurve. So people did throw it. So I don't know if the designer pitches, you know, in that regard. And, God, I never thought we would say designer pitchers when we were talking about pitches in baseball. That seems a little sick. That, maybe that's the traditionalist in me. But I don't know. But I do know that every organization, including ours, is looking at everything possible to make sure that – we try to keep guys healthy, because, I mean, I think as we see, when you have good starting pitching, you put yourself in a position to win every night.
You know, the one thing, back to your team a little bit, speaking of pitchers, the one guy that seems like he's gotten a little bit out of whack is Aroldis Chapman, who was really, really good early, but he's had some control issues. I mean, how do you get – you talk about a guy like McCutchen being a veteran and you know, just sort of having to be able to find his own way. How do you get a guy like Chapman back, you know, because he plays such an important role? You know, you need to put him out there and know that he's going to get the job done. How do you give him the opportunity to figure it out?
Yeah, I think the big thing here is we got to slow him down a little bit. The last couple outings, he's just got moving too fast. And when you're that big, and, you know, I don't know if you guys have been around Chappie, but that's a large human being, and you get moving really fast, you lose your arm angle. And when you lose your arm angle, we saw the result last night of just losing the strike zone. So we got to slow him down a little bit, get him moving down the mound more directionally, because he's just kind of not working in the right direction right now.
Shelty, I also wanted to talk about Jones from last night and how good he was and how you did keep him in there in that spot. I'm trying to put into perspective of I don't want to go crazy here, but we've all seen people like, you know, Dwight Gooden and other guys come up with just electric arms. Is he close to that kind of category, at least for a guy who's just getting started here? I haven't seen this too much, and I've been around almost as long as Ron.
Well, you're not that old. I mean, let's get that on record. You're not that old. But yeah, I do think we have a good one here, you know, and it's in, again, that's why we're very mindful of it. You know, sometimes people don't like that, but I understand that. But, yeah, his stuff is good. I mean, the thing I love about him is the way he approaches the game. Like, watch him during the game. And I even said last night post-game, watch him the days he doesn't pitch, how much he watches the game and how focused in he was. I mean, even last night when he slipped and scared us, like, I went out to the mound, and he stared at me like, why are you out here? Mm. Like, you know – this kid is intense and focused. And I think to your point, like last night, he got a little bit of a leash. You know, we gave him the guy with the bases loaded, wanted to see how he responded to it after the walk, and he did a good job. So I think we're really fortunate what this kid's doing. The biggest thing that is really encouraging for me and should be for everybody is just the lack of walks. I mean, the fact that this guy's putting the ball on the plate, it's something that's really important for young pitchers. And then you have young pitchers with his stuff, you get a really good combination.
We often hear, you know, with any young player that has some success early, that, you know, sooner or later the league is going to punch back. But every so often you got a guy who's got the kind of, you know, ability or makeup stuff, whatever, where there isn't that big of a punch back. Do you expect there to be growing pains at some point with Jerry where you know, the league sort of figures him out a little bit and he has to adjust?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the major league players are just too good. They're going to adjust. They're going to do things. The one thing, because of, you know, Jared's weapons, I think he has the ability to adjust off. We're going to have to see how it happens, when it happens. You know, the one thing that I think we've been fortunate with early on is he's faced some really good lineups. So we've kind of seen how they've attacked him and what they've done. I think we'll see the curveball and the changeup come into play more when he has to use them, because it's, you know, been a lot of fastball slider initially. But the things that are controllable, like him with the running game, him putting the ball on the plate, those things, you know, aren't going to change. And I think that's really important. And when they do adjust, then we'll make the adjustments with it.
Lastly, Shelty, I don't know if you saw the Aaron Boone ejection last night. The ump told him to not say another word, and he didn't. Boone didn't, but somebody on the dugout, a Yankee fan, did. And Boone got thrown out for it. It was very funny. I'm wondering if you saw it and if there's anybody at PNC Park that sort of backs you up a lot and could be mistaken for you.
Yeah, I did see it. I actually saw it live. So I loved Booney's reaction. Honestly, it was very, very funny. And actually, knowing Booney pretty well, it was very funny watching him react, especially because of the fact that he was looking at his fingernails, which I thought was kind of comical. You know, like he was out for a stroll and he was looking at his nails like, I'm going to be quiet, I'm not going to say anything. And yeah, we do have some people over our dugout that definitely will get after umpires, you know, because I usually stay quiet. You know, as you guys both know, I usually don't say much and I'm very calm during games. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shelty. And we'll have City Limits here work on the story. Pirates manager promises Skeens by Memorial Day, okay?
Oh, yeah, definitely make sure that's good. That'll be great for me.
Thank you, Shelty.
All right, see you guys.
See ya.
Yep.
Limits, you might want to get on that. All right.
We the problem with that whole thing is we didn't ask him any of the tough questions.
No.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
None of the tough questions. I thought that was great. I'll say this much about Shelty, a couple of things, actually. One is he's been really straightforward on when I asked him the Bednar thing a couple of weeks ago, without hesitation, yes. He also is willing to admit that he may not be right about some things. I don't sense him ducking questions.
He really never does.
I respect that.
He answers our questions. He answers questions all the time. You know, and the thing about it is, like he said, you don't have to like his answers, but he's going to give you an answer.
And he's been adamant, rightly or wrongly, you know, about Bednar, about McCutcheon.
Here's the thing. I think, you know, even the fact that he was willing to say, hey, we really don't have a pecking order at catcher, that tells you a lot because there should be a pecking order. It should be Henry Davis and then whoever else is second. And that's not what he said. You know, he basically said we don't have a pecking order here.
We all should hope that.
But I'm just saying that's what it should be.
It should be, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I'd say right now it probably should be Bart ahead of Davis, but in a perfect world, it should be Davis.
And so all of us are like, well, wait a minute. I thought the answer about Nick Gonzalez, you know, it won't shock me if he's up soon.
What did he say? I can't remember.
Well, he basically, you know, said that, he's hitting well and we've been monitoring what he's doing. We really don't have a plan right yet, but we're watching what he's doing. He's obviously, you know, really progressing well. And so that tells me when he says we're monitoring what he's doing, that tells me that probably in short order, we're going to see Nick Gonzalez up here, which we should.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I thought that was good, informative, fun.
Yeah,
all the things it's supposed to be.
And here's the thing, Joe, and not to do a Journalism 101 segment again like we did 2 days ago or whatever when that jagoff was like, oh, well, you're not going to ask any questions. You can ask the relevant questions. If you want to call them the tough questions, that's fine. I call them the relevant questions. You can ask the relevant questions without it being confrontational. If you do it the right way.
Right. And
and he's been around for a long time. He knows they're coming. He's not stupid. You know what I mean? Like, he knows they're coming and he's ready with answers.
And from what he said, by the way, on the whole Jared Jones thing from last week, he said Charrington was aware of the plan. So to me, therefore, Charrington made the decision. If it was predetermined and the general manager was at the meeting,
right,
and he has veto power, by definition, he's the guy that made the decision because he essentially okayed it.
Right.
So I'm still just baffled by Charrington not taking the hit. You know, I'm not even saying whether you think they did right or wrong. I can't believe that he didn't take the hit for all of it when he knew there was a storm of criticism when he talked on Sunday on his show on our station. It would have been so easy to say, yeah, it was predetermined, basically my call. You know, they decided they were going to enforce it during the game. That's kind of up to them, but I was there and it's my final decision to predetermine that yeah, you can take him out after five unless something very unusual is happening. Plus, Shelty said they're reconsidering the innings thing versus the pitch thing. That's what I heard. Did you?
Well, yeah, exactly. And what I liked about that whole discussion was sort of when he said, you know, I don't know if we're right or not.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're right. I don't know if it's the right answer. We're all searching for answers, you know?
Hey, man, it's got to be when you have maybe the two biggest franchise assets right now are Jared Jones and Paul Skeens, and it's happening in the context of a crisis with pitching arms. If it is indeed that, you know, some people think this is new. This has been going on for years that guys have been getting hurt like this. But either way, they're getting hurt a lot, especially velocity pitchers. So it's got to be, you know, frightening in a way to know that a lot of your future rides on them.
Right. That's the thing. And I think the other thing is there's no way to know if a guy's going to get hurt or not. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. Like, you have some guys, like we talk about Garrett Cole, who obviously this year is probably a bad example because he did get hurt. But how many years in a row did Garrett Cole, you know, just be a total workhorse and you know, continue to pitch a lot of innings?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so if you think about it, think about Garrett Cole here, okay? 2015, 208 innings. 2016, 116 innings. I think that was a year I forget. He was out for like 3 weeks or something. But then he went 3 years in a row, 200 innings or more.
Yeah, I tend to think guys are either predisposed to get injured or not, and that there's not a whole hell of a lot you can do either way.
And that's really my point. Like, you can do whatever you need to do to try and mitigate injuries, but if a guy is predisposed to have injury issues, you know what I mean? Or a guy's going to get – you can put him in a plastic bubble and never let him out, and guess what? It doesn't matter. Then you look – That's the.
Do you remember that movie,
balance.
Paul?
That's the delicate balance that all of these managers have to deal with.
Do you remember John Travolta as the boy in the plastic bubble?
Yes.
What a great movie, wasn't it?
Great is probably a strong word, but it was okay.
Coming up, City Limits has an episode of PTI. Paul thinks incredulently.
Can I just say how incredible is it that Derek Shelton referred to him as City Limits?
That was big. Were you honored by that?
I was a little bit caught off guard.
Yeah. And did he say goodbye, City Limits? Was there another one dropped?
No, just one, just at the beginning.
But he is polite at the end when he says goodbye.
That's right.
Yeah. Some people just leave with no goodbyes.
Happens a lot.
Shockingly, Ray Fittipaldi was one of them. The nicest man in America doesn't say goodbye to the producer, does
Everyone loves Ray.
Yeah.
Batko doesn't either.
Did Batko say goodbye?
He did, yes.
Yeah. I figured he would.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Made a little suggestion to City Limits and he came up with it. This is where it all began. Bob Johnson, it's a great day for hockey. This is incredible stuff here, Paul.
Yes.
Congrats, City Limits, on this one.
There's a music video to this too. It's very old time.
What a wonderful man you've become.
1936, this song was written.
Really?
1936.
Ron covered his debut.
Yeah. Ron was there.
he was there at the opening of Forbes Field, too.
And you know what happened?
He was there when the Big Bang happened. He covered that, I think.
Probably.
After the show, yeah. Ron let Robert Johnson buy him a free light.
Then he wouldn't let Robert Johnson into the Hall of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because he used steroids.
But yet, poor Bob Johnson bought Ron something for his 21st birthday that day.
He did. It's a great day for hockey. Speaking of baseball, Shelty also talked about the Aaron Boone ejection. And for people who didn't see this, who was the ump on hand here for this thing? It was one of these me first umps, of which there's too many. Would you agree with that, Paul?
Yeah, it's Hunter Wendelstadt.
Wendelstadt. Yes. That's right.
Yeah, and
the
there's
son
too
of
many
Harry
of these
Wendelstadt,
guys,
maybe
there's
I don't know.
Too many of these guys that really think we're there to watch them.
So, Aaron Boone's complaining from the dugout. Guys are complaining about something. I don't remember what. And Wendelstadt says one more word out of you, you're gone. Essentially, says that. So they show Boone at the top of the dugout. He does not say a word, but the guy behind him in the stands does. A fan with a Yankees hat yells at the umpire, and the umpire throws out Boone, who then goes absolutely ballistic. But I'm seeing here at the New York Post that even after the game, the ump was still blaming Boone.
Yes.
Boone did what he was told here, Paul. He didn't do anything wrong after that. Am I right about that?
He didn't. He just went back into the thing.
Do we have Boone from after the game? I mean, this was incredible. Can you find that, Limits?
I'm scouring the web right now.
Yeah, if you just go, you, it's on you. Just it's on YouTube.
Should be easy.
Just go get just Aaron Boone. Mad. Go get Aaron Boone.
Google Aaron Boone post game reaction.
Put it to YouTube. Go to YouTube.
Anyway, Shelty says there's people behind him. What do you make of all of this? Is the biggest story here the show me umps?
Yeah, these umps are just, you know, and a lot of people are like, well, we got to go to automated strike zones and everything else, but you got to have somebody that's live and able to, facilitate what happens in the game. I don't think you can go to, you know, completely 100% automated umps and have nobody on the field. So you're still going to have the same problem if you got a few of these guys that are just total jag-offs, like this guy, this Hunter Wendelstedt. What, to me, give me a break, will you please? And the thing about it is, he yells, oh, well, you're gone, right?
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, if you make the mistake and try and throw him out, when it becomes abundantly clear that he didn't say anything, don't you have to sort of just reverse yourself?
Yeah. Yes. It was on a check swing. Not only did he not reverse himself after the game, he doubled down on this crap.
And then
he said, I don't care who said it. You're gone. And he said there was a pitch down. I thought it hit him, the batter. I sent him to first. The Yankees asked me to appeal. The dugout started, you know, obviously arguing that situation, kind of, in my opinion, too extreme. Okay, but what about when you threw out the manager for what a fan did? What is this guy talking about?
Are you ready for the quote?
He said, yes. What did he say?
Here's the quote from the umpire. Wendelstedt conceded post-game that Boone probably, you know, is not the one who made the comment. He said, I know what Aaron was saying, that it was the fan above the dugout. That's fine and dandy.
I like the word dandy.
Yeah, there were plenty of fans that were yelling at me before I called a pitch until the end of the game. But Aaron Boone is the manager of the Yankees and is responsible for everything that happens in that dugout.
And above the dugout?
In my opinion, the cheap shot came towards the far end. So instead of me being aggressive and walking to the far end and trying to figure out who might have said it, I don't want to eject a ball player.
Oh, no, you don't want to eject a ball player, I'm sure.
We need to keep them in the game. That's what fans pay to see. Aaron Boone runs the Yankees. He got ejected.
And now this guy's lying.
Yeah, here's the thing. Better to, what's that saying, Joe? Better to keep your mouth shut and be thought of as a fool than open it and remove all doubt.
That's pretty much it.
And
yeah.
That's what happened right here. It's bad enough you said really stupid things during this confrontation, but now you double down on it with this nonsense. And the best is when on the field, when Boone, you know, ran out, I didn't say anything. What are you talking about? The umpire, this Wendelstedt, said, I don't care who said it. You are gone.
Yeah, he's claiming it was the old somebody in the dugout said it, and right. The manager is gonna get the heave-ho for that. It's ridiculous. This was Boone after the game.
Hard to. I wasn't even really. I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too, and he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is a bad, it's embarrassing.
I like that. I like it a lot, City Limits. Here's the other thing he said was, I have never ejected a player or a manager for something a fan has said. Well, now you have, Hunter. Now you have. Paul, what's the most obnoxious kind of fan to sit next to at a game? Is it yell at players and coaches all game? That's A. Is it B, I'm going to show my knowledge about everything to you during the game?
Yeah, that's the most annoying.
Well, wait a second. Or is it C, personal person who wants to tell you personal stories and just chat the whole game while you're trying to watch the game?
The
A, B, or C?
B and C, yeah. By far. My thing is, don't talk to me. You know what I mean? If you want to talk to me a little bit here and there, okay, fine. But I don't need to know that you know every single thing about baseball. And I certainly don't need to know that, you know, your aunt Gilda, you know, had surgery last night. I don't need to know that stuff.
It's the same as an airplane.
But
for
I'll tell you, for
keep
me,
keep the small talk.
Right. Here's my thing. I'll tell you the thing that one other kind of fan that drives me insane. Fan who constantly is yelling and doesn't even know the rules of the game that he's yelling about.
Oh, I have a great example of that.
Someone, you know, the fan that yells over the back, even though there's no foul called over the back in basketball. You know, the fan that yells, you know, NFL rules at a college game that actually don't apply to the college game. You know what I mean? Like, that fan that is always yelling and screaming at umpires and refs, and it's clear they don't know the rules of the game. That fan drives me insane as well.
At the NCAA tournament this year, there was a fan that was situated right behind me at the table, and he was in the front row, probably about 15 feet away, and he definitely had a very enjoyable time, and it was late at night. It was about midnight. He was clearly having fun, and he kept yelling that every single play was a travel. Every single time, and he'd move his hands around, he'd signal travel. Everybody could hear him on the floor, too. Travel, 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 and everybody around him, next to him, just started laughing.
It's everywhere.
And then the guy pointed at me and said, you thought that was a travel, too, right? I said, I don't think so, man.
I love it when everybody they try to drag you into the fight.
I'm covering the game. I look around to see who's yelling travel, and he just picks me out of a lineup and asks. Everybody starts laughing.
It's absolutely, like, incredible when I hear people yelling and screaming in the fans in the stands about certain officiating calls or whatever, and it's like, you don't even understand what's going on. You don't even understand the game. Please be quiet.
How much do you get on the officials during your AAU basketball games when you're coaching?
I know you're not going to believe this, but almost none. Very, very rarely do I say a word to the ref. Every so often.
Do you do small talk to try and get on their good side?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like,
do you know them all by now?
I'll say hello or what. I mean, we'll talk a little bit. My point is, I'm not that guy that's, you know, working the refs. I just don't. My thing is, and I tell this to my players all the time. These guys are making $25 a game. That you get what you pay for. Just play. And my thing is, unless it's egregiously bad, like egregiously bad, or it's not safe, I'll say stuff to the refs. Every so often. But, like,
do you know them all?
No, I mean, I'm familiar with a lot of them because I've coached, you know, a zillion games. But I used to be that guy that got, you know, screamed at refs and got after refs and worked the refs. And then I think I got ejected from a game maybe when Haley was in, like, seventh grade. And I said to myself, this is really kind of silly. I'm getting thrown out of a game coaching seventh grade girls basketball for what? These guys are making $15 a game at that, you know, at that level is probably $15 a game or $20 a game. You get what you pay for. So after that, my philosophy just became, I'm just going to coach my team. Now, does that mean that every so often I don't, like, let a ref have it? Every so often. But for the most part, if you watch me, I don't say boo to the refs.
That's good.
Yeah.
They got on me one time. I was unfairly targeted coaching. I was coaching fifth and sixth grade girls basketball. And it was one of the rare games where we were crushing another team. So I told my team to back off, not even inside the three-point line, all the way. There was a gray line between the three-point line and the foul line.
Yeah.
I'm like, pick up your players there. And the two refs yelled at me for it. They're like, you got to move them back even further. I'm like, where do you want them to go? The baseline? Should we just let the other team score? We're not even, I told them, no steals and back off to the gray line.
Yeah.
What else do you want me to do? I guess they wanted me all the way back at the foul line.
The one, I'll tell you, I got a technical foul over the winter. We were playing a game, and it was literally a game where the other team literally shot like 18 free throws, and we had like two. It was a physical game. And I'm not, listen, my teams are physical. We play hard. I'm not at all. I never say that we're not fouling because we foul. You know, we get after it. And I get that. But it was a really physical game on both sides, right? And Finally, after about the eighth time in a row, our girl went in for a lap. She got hammered and didn't no call. I said to the official, I was like, what do we have to do to get a foul call? That's all I'm asking, blah, 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 blah. She says to me, that's enough, ref. I said, you're right. That is enough. And I got a technical foul. I mean, my thing there is, if I'm going to get a technical foul, I probably should earn it.
Yeah, that one's a little weak right there.
But that's as far as usually I go. I usually don't say, two words. I know it sounds crazy because I'm. If you watch me coach, I'm intense. I get after it, but I'm getting after my players and getting them to try and play hard and get at. The referees.
Limits, do you want to go to one of Paul's games and heckle him or cheer for him?
I could do that. I'll cheer.
The last time I saw you were going to a Pirate game in full Pirate regalia with a sign. Right?
I had a flag.
A Pirate flag.
Opening day, and it seems like every time I bring that flag, they lose, so I don't know if I'm going to bring it again.
Let's dress in Paul's team's colors and go to a game and
cheer. I'll bring the flag.
Opening day when we were freezing on Federal Street.
Yes.
Freezing. Only to be warmed up by the Wiggle Whiskey guy, right?
I felt pretty warm.
Yes, I remember.
The bourbon old fashions did the trick.
And then we looked over, and there were City Limits, like the number one Pirate fan. It was amazing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.